chapter 10. Thank you, musicians and singers. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through to 8. Just remain standing for a little bit longer. Matthew chapter 10, reading from verse 5 through to verse 8. Amen. Praise the Lord. Has everybody got it? Well, now you've got it in your Bibles. We're going to put it on the screen. Just make sure you know how important it is to have your Bible. Matthew 10, verse 5 through to 8. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth, and he commanded them, saying, Go not." Everybody say not. "Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not." Everybody say not. Don't go near the Gentiles. Don't go into the city of the Samaritans. Don't enter into there. "But rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." I want to point your attention that Jesus sent the disciples forth. He said, don't go by the way of the Gentiles. Don't go into the city of the Samaritans. But go unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel and preach, heal, cleanse, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely given. This morning, I want to preach on this title, the power of a bloodline. Turn to your neighbor and say, the power of a bloodline. Amen. Let's pray. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that there's power in your word. Lord Jesus, I pray as your word comes forth today, let it come and let there be faith coming by the hearing. And let hearing come from the word of God. Anoint me as your vessel today to preach your mind today to us as a needy people in this place, oh God. And we'll give you all the praise and we'll give you all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The power of a bloodline. You see, as Christians, and on this New Year's Eve, it is so important, and I want to send you into 2018 with an understanding that is going to help you as you face all the things that you're going to face in 2018. It's important to know who we are in God. And in fact, sometimes when reading the Bible, you can read the Bible and the emphasis, even in the text that we've read, can be so awkward. When we see an emphasis seem to be given to a certain group of people known as the Jews, it does nothing to help with our self-esteem. Doesn't do anything when we read scriptures like that about maybe an inferiority complex. And I'll just say at the outset that the first part of this message is going to be just a little bit awkward. But there's one thing for certain, as we stand here on New Year's Eve, that in 2018, the devil is still going to be a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But there is another thing I want to remind you of. Although we have a roaring lion, our victory is still in Jesus Christ. And he is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. He doesn't change. And so we do have an enemy, and we do have a Savior. And I want to remind you, and I tweeted this out this week, that we defeat the devil not by our emotions, but with facts. There are some facts that you can throw right in that devil's face that's going to put him on the back foot. and send him running. Doesn't matter. You can leave this place this morning and you can be full of emotion. You can feel the love of God. You can feel the love for the brethren. You can feel good about 2018. But when it comes to fighting that old devil, you're going to have to arm yourself with some facts. And I've come to remind you today who you are in God. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, in the Old Testament, people understood the importance of the bloodline. They understood it much more in the Old Testament than we do today. Although, sitting here today, there are many cultures represented, and in many other cultures, not the Australian culture necessarily, but in many other cultures, the bloodline is still very, very important. God started the first covenant with a man. That covenant started with a man named Abraham. And back in the Bible days in the Old Testament, the right to the blessing, the right to the favor of God on your life was dependent on your bloodline. You had to be from the bloodline of Abraham, the Jewish people. And so I don't think we have any Jews today. Maybe we do. But for the most part, or for the vast majority, we are Gentiles. We're not Jews. And so much of the Bible paints this negative picture, even in the Old Testament and even in our text as we read this morning, about having the right proper line of descent, to have the right bloodline. You see, in those Bible days in the Old Testament, you had to be from the right bloodline. You had to be from the right stock. And in our text, we just read it. Jesus sent out 12 disciples and he sent them, he said, I want you not to go in the way of the Gentiles. Don't go near the Gentiles. I don't want you to enter into the city of the Samaritans, but I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so there is given this somewhat, this profiling job that the disciples have got. I want you to go out and profile, because some were going to be received because they were Jews, and some were not going to be received because they weren't Jews. And so Jesus instructed the disciples. He says, you can't do anything. You know, all that healing and cleansing and delivering and raising people from the dead. He said, I don't want you to do that with the Gentiles. I don't want you to do that with the Samaritans, but it's for the house of Israel. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. And so with all the people who would come to Jesus, as those disciples went out and preached, the criteria for a miracle would lay in their bloodline. We look at the occasion, you can read it in your Bible in Luke chapter 13, verse 16. We read here in Luke 13, verse 16, it says, and ought not this woman, and it adds, because she's a daughter, she's from the right bloodline. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, she's been bound 18 years, she ought to be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day. And so she had a right. She's from the right family. She's a daughter of Abraham. And Jesus healed her. We read it. He healed her. He delivered her. And then in Matthew chapter 15, we read of the Canaanite woman. The opposite happens. A Gentile woman, a different bloodline, came to Jesus and she's begging Jesus, Jesus, can you come and can you heal my daughter? And Jesus, in effect, he said, I can't do that because you know why? You're from the wrong bloodline. It didn't seem fair. We're going to look at that scripture in a little bit further and a little bit later. But it didn't seem fair, but that's the power. If you read it in the Bible, that's the power of the bloodline. And it in this case, though, despite the Canaanite, this Gentile woman, she begged Jesus. And because of this woman's faith, her daughter was healed. She said, you know, she got an overflow of the blessing that was not for the Gentiles, but for the Jews, but she got an overflow. And so this is how it worked in the Bible. And I told you at the outset that it'd just be a little bit awkward to start with. If someone would come to Jesus, you would often find the disciples, or Jesus would ask first, well, who's your daddy? Are you a daughter of Abraham? And then they would have to explain. And if they had the right father, he would lay his hands on them and they would be healed. But if they had the wrong bloodline, in some cases they had to go home sick. It was very much dependent on their bloodline. Because before I cleanse you of your leprosy, I need to know, first of all, your genealogy. And if you're not by the right genealogy, then I cannot guarantee you that you're going to be healed. You see, I would really like to heal this child, but first, who's your daddy? Who's your father? Where are you from? What's your lineage? What's your bloodline? And so it's so odd for Jesus to make this kind of profiling, even in our text, against the Gentiles and the Samaritans. Jesus is the Messiah, yes, that the Jews had been anticipating for centuries. Now listen carefully. Jesus was born of a Jewish family. He was raised according to the Jewish law, and he was raised in a Jewish town. Jesus went and selected Jewish disciples. He spoke in Jewish synagogues. He spoke at a Jewish temples. He traveled mostly in Jewish areas. However, none of this means that Jesus' ministry was limited exclusively to the Jews. We see this because Jesus also helped, yes, that Gentile Canaanite woman that we talked about. Jesus also gave other indications that his power and his compassion was to reach all people. We read in Luke chapter 7 that he healed the Roman centurion's servant. He traveled through the Gentile region of the Gerasenes. He ministered in the Samaritan city in John chapter 4. He came in 1 John 2 verse 2, the Bible says, to heal everybody. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he came to die for all of our sins. And Jesus even told those Jews, he said, I have sheep that are not of this sheep pen. They would be like, what? We're the special ones. And Jesus said, no, I got sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock. And there will be one shepherd. And though Jesus was the son of Abraham, you've got to remember that Abraham was the father of many nations. The Gentiles would be included, but his first mission, Jesus said, was to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The power of a bloodline. You see, one's blood is one's lineage. And sometimes in many cultures, especially in the Bible culture, your lineage and your bloodline will give you access to things that other people have no access to. Your bloodline can give you access to restricted areas, restricted countries, restricted lands, all based on a bloodline. There's this Gentile woman, we talked about her in Matthew 15. And I kind of been holding off reading this because it's one of those awkward scriptures. And behold, a woman, Matthew 15, 22 to 27 says, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, please help me. She begs again. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Now, I don't know if that's exactly the way you would like a reception if you were asking for something. To be called or to be referred to as a dog and to be called as your request to be something that is cast to the dogs. The third time she cries out, she says, truth, Lord, yes, that's true. I know I'm not from the house of Israel, but yet the dogs get to eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And so Jesus recognizes her desperation. Jesus recognizes her faith. And she gets an overflow. She gets a crumb from the master's table. She didn't have the right descent. She didn't have a righteous descent. However, her stubborn faith wins Jesus over, and the exception proves the rule. She just merely benefits incidentally by an overspill of Israel's blessing. You see, the Jews were very careful of keeping bloodlines. And you know, sometimes your bloodline can work for you and sometimes it can work against you. I know, I remember my dad did some genealogy, and we found out that my mom's family, they all came to Australia as convicts. And so you can imagine my mom and dad. I mean, that added a whole new dimension to any disagreement they had. Because my dad's family came to Australia, so he thought at that time, as landowners. And so my dad would say, well, we came here as landowners. You came here nothing but a criminal. That's your bloodline. And so while some of us are trying to forget about our bloodline, a lot of us like to try and hold on to it because it would give us a little bit of something that we might not get otherwise, because that's the power of a bloodline. And so in the Bible days, the Jews were so careful to keep bloodlines, and the pride of the Jew was their connection to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, God himself had chosen Israel from all of the peoples of the world. And the blessing of God on Abraham was there. And the bloodline was preserved, that Jewish bloodline from Abraham, at all costs. You see, it was to the Jews the glory and the power that flowed in this bloodline. This was their heritage. We are children of Abraham. Sons and daughters of Abraham. No treasure was so coveted by as the fact that they were from a descent from Abraham. They knew full well that they had influence with God. Why did they have influence with God? Oh, because we're from the right bloodline. We're children of Abraham. They're linked to Abraham. They're linked to the covenant. They were the seed of Abraham. It meant not just the seed, but we are the benefactors. Because we are part of the right bloodline. Security, identity, credibility. It's the power of the bloodline. But you see, the Gentiles. And everybody say, if you're a Gentile, everyone say, I'm a Gentile. Yeah, I'm not a Jew. And I'm pretty sure we don't have any Jews here today. But for the Gentile, they really had no heritage. There was no power, there was no value, there was no pride in being a Gentile. There was not even a genealogy kept of the Gentiles. In fact, the Gentiles were trying to get over their genealogy, like some of us, trying to forget about it. It's something that we don't want to talk about, like Ruth, for instance. She was a Moabite, a Gentile, not a Jew. Nobody was impressed with Ruth's genealogy. Her ancestry and her origin consisted of incest and committed between Lot and his oldest daughter. That's something we don't want to talk about, that stuff. The Gentiles, they didn't have a heritage. They were disconnected from the Abrahamic line. And Paul said it like this. Paul said it like this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. And remember, Paul ended up being the greatest preacher that went to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul said it like this, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time, yes, remember when in times past Gentiles, that at that time you were without Christ, being, everybody say, aliens. Aliens of the commonwealth of Israel and strangers. You had no access to the covenant of promise, having no hope. And look at this, without God in the world. That's how Paul said of the Gentiles. You see, if you're a Gentile, there was nothing to be proud about. You were living in a world, listen carefully, you were living in a world made by God. But as this scripture says, you were without the God who made the world. You were living in a world made by God, but without the God who made the world. You see, this is the power of a bloodline. Wherever you were born, because of your birth, you became a benefactor of those who came before you.
From Abraham all the way through to Jesus, 42 generations. The bloodline flowed down from Abraham down. And wherever you were born, you were a benefactor of all those that had gone before you. The further down, the greater the benefit. It would accumulate as it went through the bloodline. It's the power of the bloodline. It built up as it came down through the bloodline. The benefits and all that went before you, that's the power of a bloodline. Now think about the poor Gentiles. Nothing. And the obvious question today for you and for me is, how do I as a Gentile come in to the plan of God? And Paul said it in Ephesians 2, verse 12 and 13. It goes on to say that at time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Verse 13 says this, but I like this. Everybody say, but. But's the revolving door. Bad news, but. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, but now, everybody say now. Paul says, but now, you see, once upon a time, you were a stranger. You had no access to the covenant. You were without hope. You were without God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh, listen to this, by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ, you who were afar off, you who were without access to the covenant, you who were without hope, you who were without God in the world, but now through Jesus Christ and His blood, we can come in to that covenant. We can become benefactors. I'm here to preach today. It's the power of a bloodline. The power of a bloodline. Ephesians chapter 1, you see, verse 13, that's a clear description. It's forceful as Paul preaches about the movement. He says, we're moving on from this old way of doing things. We're moving on from this, you got to be part of the lineage of Abraham. We're moving on from this Jewish thing. This is the description right here that we're moving on from bloodlines and ethnic separation. We're moving on to the unifying bloodline. One bloodline under Jesus Christ who shed His blood for every single one of us. You see, at the cross, a bloodline was born. When He shed His blood to form one new people. No race, no color, no boundaries, no countries, every people, every tongue, every tribe, every nation. And that's one of the reasons why I love to preach to this church. Because when I preach at this church, more than 50 nations represented in this, this just gives us a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. Because Jesus died for every single one of us. It's not about whether you're connected to Abraham. It's whether you're connected to Jesus. One God, one faith, one baptism, one bloodline. It's the power of a bloodline. John chapter 8. Sorry, Ephesians 1. I missed that one. Blessed by the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual things in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him. You see, Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Paul says it again. We were chosen before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Before even there was a single tick on the clock of time. When there was nothing but God, He chose me. Everybody say, He chose me. Everybody say, He knew me. Not by the bloodline of my mom and dad. Not by the bloodline of my grandpa and grandma. Not by the bloodline of my great-great-grandma or great-great-grandfather. Nothing like that. He chose me according to the bloodline of a blood man, and that is Jesus Christ. I was chosen according to Jesus Christ. The bloodline of Jesus. So let the Jew have Abraham. God chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. I'm part of a bloodline. I'm a Christian. I've been baptized in his name. His blood has been applied to my life. It doesn't matter what my mommy did. It doesn't matter what my daddy did. I don't have to worry about that. We are one people. We have one God. We have one bloodline.
John chapter 8 verse 56 says this. The Jews are saying, we've got Abraham for our father. John 8 verse 56 says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. You haven't seen Abraham. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I was around before your uncle Abraham was here. I was here before your granddaddy Abraham was here. You see, before Abraham, I want to tell you, before Abraham, there was something flowing in the bloodline. Before Abraham, and the Bible says they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You see, why did the Jews arc up? Let me tell you why. Because they were Jesus was messing with their bloodline. Jesus was messing with the access and all of the prestige that came with their bloodline. They wanted Abraham for their father. Jesus was messing with their bloodline. Now, we have in our church one of the leading scientists in the whole world in our church, and he's not here today. They're on holidays. His niece is here, though. But he's one of the leading scientists with wheat in the whole world. Top two. Maybe, you know, who knows if he's first or second. But with wheat, genetics of wheat, he knows everything about wheat. In fact, a large proportion of the wheat production in the world is part of a breed of wheat that he found one piece in Syria, one piece of wheat in Syria, and he found another piece of wheat in Ethiopia. And he took the two pieces of wheat and he bred them together because they had qualities that you could breed together to get a wheat that can grow in a hardy condition that is not going to be affected by all these other things, and productivity is high. And I think the other day, some large percentage of wheat in the world is now all part of this breed that our brother in our church actually bred. He knows a little bit about genetics. He knows a little bit about bloodlines. I don't know very much at all, but I know something. Now, don't laugh too much. I do know a little bit about bloodlines because I used to breed budgerigars. Now, all of you that have a little budgerigar, Matthew and Lauren, these aren't just normal budgerigars. These are show budgerigars. Now, when you go to the pet shop, you get a budgerigar, Nicholas, that'll be about this big. You know why that budgerigar is that big? Because it's been inbred. They just get smaller and smaller, and they don't last very long. And it's great for the shop because when your little budgie dies, you come back and buy another one. But budgerigars that we show, they're very large. Big bodies. Big boofy heads. The more buff you could get in their head, the better. Their backs would be straight. Their chests would be puffed out. And they didn't just have little spots, but you wanted to have big, fat spots. And you'd take them. I used to go to the shows. In fact, I won reserve champion at one show, in the Canberra show, but I was showing in the novice section. But I learned a little bit about bloodlines because I went to Sydney for a budgerigar auction. They were auctioning off budgerigars, and to my surprise, there were budgerigars being auctioned off for $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 because they were from the right bloodline. And so I thought, with my $50 in my pocket, maybe, just maybe, I can find some scrappy old budgerigar that looks like nothing. You know, all feathers falling out. And I could buy it for $50. And because of the bloodline, maybe it will do something for me in the aviary with one of the males or females, and I'll get one of those big buffy ones as well. Because you don't know what's in the bloodline.
That's the little that I know about bloodlines. And so we used to go around. There were a few different breeders around town that had were known for certain things, you know. There was a man named Welshman. He used to be known for the big buffy head. So you get one of his bloodline and you get another different man, a guy, George, his name was, he used to be known for the big long body, and you breed them together and you do your best. That's all I know about genetics. That's a lot, isn't it? And it's limited to budgerigars. It's worthless. But, you know, here in Australia, we just had a race in November, the race that stops a nation. But bloodlines have a lot to do with horse racing as well. And so it's no coincidence that those horses that win those races, it's no coincidence that they win. It's no coincidence that they're the fastest horses in the world. Why? Because they were carefully studied. They were carefully bred for generation after generation. You see, it can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Everybody say hundreds of thousands of dollars. Not for a horse. They cost millions and millions of dollars. But it can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars just to have a male horse come and visit your female horse. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. You see, before breeding, the owners will go back 50. They'll go back 60 years, and they will study the bloodline of a particular stallion. They find that stallion after 60 years of history. They'll say, that's the stallion we want to come and visit Miss Missy. And so they'll research his father, his grandfather. They'll study how long his stride was. They'll study how long grandpa's legs were. They'll study their takeoff speed. They'll study their endurance. And with all that information, they will be able to build a bloodline. And they will choose what they believe to be the perfect match. You see, the horse racing industry, and I wouldn't encourage anybody to get into it, and I would totally discourage anybody to gamble, of course. But you see, they understand in breeding horses that winners just don't happen by accident. It's in their DNA. Everybody say DNA. That's what sets the horses apart. You can't get your little old pony Alpha out your backyard and just rock up at the Melbourne Cup, put a saddle on and hope to win. That little thing's going to die before it gets around the first bend. But they understand that champions don't just happen randomly. It's in their DNA. And it's the DNA that sets them apart. They have generations and generations and generations of champions in their DNA. And so when a breeder goes to an auction, they're not impressed by the looks of those horses. That's not what they're looking at. They're not impressed by the color of the horse. We'd go pick, well, I want to buy a gray one. No, they don't care whether it's gray, black, brown, white. They don't care if it's polka dotted. They don't care about the looks. They only care about the bloodline. And the breeder's not going to pay for the looks of that horse. He's going to pay the highest price. Why? Because of the bloodline. And so when they bring that stallion home and they breed and all of that, that little colt is born, that little horse. And that little horse gets out of his mummy's womb and he's standing there in the paddock and his legs are wobbly. He can barely stand up. He doesn't look like any different, Brother Chris, from any other little stallion. He doesn't look any different from any other little foal. He can barely walk. His legs are shaking. He's got that stuff all over him. And, you know, the owners could think, oh, man, you know what? I was expecting something better than this. He just looks like our neighbor's pony. I tell you, you've underestimated the power of a bloodline. Oh, look, his legs are all wobbly and his tail's not straight. Come on, the DNA, it's the power of a bloodline. Oh, your horse, yeah, you could have a white one. White ones are much better. I don't care about the color. It's the power of a bloodline. And so that little baby could come out and the owners could throw their hands up and say, you know what? That's not what we want. He doesn't look anything special. We've wasted our money. Look at him. But hey, they're not concerned with the present weakness in that little horse. They're not worried about what color he is. They're not worried about how pretty he is. They're not even worried right now how muscular he is. They are totally confident because on the inside, he has the blood of a champion. the power of all the victories that have gone before, the strength of the bloodline. And I tell you today, if you can understand the power of a bloodline in the natural, now I want you to consider the power of a bloodline in the spiritual. You see, friend, that's what we're like when we're born again. The blood of Jesus is applied to our life, and people may look at you and say, hey, you're just from ordinary stock. You're from the wrong side of the tracks. Hey, you used to be a drug addict. You used to be an alcoholic. You got nothing good in you. Your mama was a liar. Your daddy was a liar. You don't look anything special. Yeah, I know you went to that church. I know you got baptized in Jesus' name. I know you got filled with the Holy Ghost, but you're just still ordinary. Ha, ha, ha. Let me tell you, that's just the devil, because I got the blood of Jesus. It's the power of a bloodline. I got the bloodline of a champion in front of me. I may look ordinary. I might look small. But let me tell you, I got the blood of Jesus flowing through my veins. I'm a child of the King. I've been buried in His name. There is no devil that can come against me. I'm preaching to you today. It's the power of a bloodline. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's the power of a bloodline. It's the power of a bloodline. We can understand it in the natural. We've got to understand it in the spiritual. It doesn't matter how many weaknesses we have. It doesn't matter what we look on the outside. It doesn't matter what color we are, how tall, how short, how attractive, how unattractive. You may struggle with an addiction. It doesn't matter about all of that. You've got the DNA of a champion. You are more than a conqueror. Come on, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Somebody believe that. You got the DNA of a champion. What supersedes everything else on the outside is something on the inside. The DNA of a champion. You know the power of a bloodline. And that's why we can sing it, Sister Sue. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of the King. I got the bloodline of a champion. I when I got born again, I changed family trees. You know, some people, they get so hung up on generational curses. Let me tell you, when you're born again, those generational curses are broken. Why? Because Jesus became the curse for us. And when you are born again, you are born again. Born into a new family, a new family tree. New blood flows through your veins. It's the bloodline. The power of a bloodline. You see, you were born to win. We are born to be overcomers. We are born to live in victory through Jesus Christ that loves us. What supersedes everything that everybody may see on the outside is the fact that we are of the bloodline of Jesus. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians like this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6 verse 3 says this, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. You see, a uniform identifies the wearer. The name of the bloodline distinguishes and identifies us from everybody else. When we are baptized into Christ, we were baptized into His death. We put on Christ. You see, baptism is so significant. Why? Because in that born again, that process of being born again, the blood is applied to our life and the name is given. Yeah, I don't look like much. You don't look like much. You got up this morning and you didn't look like much at all then. You look better now. You look in the mirror, you're like, hey, what happened? Somebody come beat me with a bat while I was sleeping? That's what I look like in the mornings. So I get to church nice and early so I can give myself enough time to recover. But I don't look like much. Anybody have struggles? Yeah. Anybody ever falter and fall? But I got the bloodline of Jesus. I'm a product of everything that has been handed down to me through the blood of Jesus. It's the power of a bloodline. You see, Jesus' blood was shed at Calvary. That is history. But his blood must be sprinkled and applied to our lives and our hearts if we want to be saved. That's what happens when we are born again. You see, from Abraham to Jesus, 42 generations. Everyone say 42 generations. But without number 42, it's all worthless. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 10 says this, "Know you not that the unrighteous," everybody say the unrighteous. You see, Paul captured, look at this. Paul captured a little bit of our old family tree. Paul's going through the family tree right here. A lot of you could probably identify with this. This was your family tree before you came to Jesus Christ and you were born again. And Paul goes through a little part of the family tree and he says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And such were some of you. And such were some of us. Oh, we all sit here like, not me. Not me. No, Paul got right up in their face and said, "And such were some of you." And I could probably get, or I wouldn't even need to prophesy today to say today, "And such were some of us." Some of us could find ourselves in these categories. But you are washed. Everybody say washed. But you are sanctified, set apart, taken out, sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I don't have a physical genealogy worth remembering. Like that woman who came to Jesus, that Canaanite woman, just a dog. But I can have some crumbs that fall from the master's table. The Jews were satisfied with 41 generations, but without 42, it all comes to nothing. Jesus Christ, I have the bloodline of a champion. And so in 2018, let me remind you today, you don't fight the devil with emotions. You're fighting with facts. When the devil comes down on you and he's got the pressure on, he's telling you that you're nothing, that you're ordinary, that you don't stack up, that you don't have the looks, you don't have the spirituality and all this. The devil comes, he's pointing his finger at you and say, "Let me tell you, devil, I got the bloodline of a champion. My legs may be wobbly right now. I might look ordinary. I might look like the pony in the paddock next door. But let me tell you, I got the blood of Jesus applied to my life. I've got the DNA of a champion. I'm a child of the King." You know, we can walk around, and Christians ought to walk around. You know, some Christians, they've got the most sour faces you'll ever see. I'm like, lift up your head. Get a smile on your face. You're a child of the King. Walk with some pride. Walk with some meaning in your step, because you got business. You're on the business of the King. You're a child of the King. You've got royal blood flowing through your veins. Why don't you put a jacket on? Why don't you put some pants on and some nice shoes and walk out into that street and say, "I'm a child of the King. Hi, I'm a King's kid. I'm a royalty. God loves me. I'm special." Why? Because I got the bloodline of a champion. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord today. Amen. You don't fight the enemy with emotions. You fight the enemy with the facts. You remind him who you are. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I've got the bloodline of a champion. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, as I finish, musicians can come. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your vain conversation received from the tradition of your fathers, but," everybody say but, "you were not redeemed with corruptible things," things that you can touch, things that can pass away. "You were not redeemed with silver or gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious." There's something about the blood of Jesus. There's people here today. I look across this congregation as pastor. You get to see a little bit more than just the suits on Sunday. because you get to help people through real life crisis. Get to see people before they came to the Lord. Look across this place, let me tell you, the blood is powerful. It can change. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as white as wool. It's the power of the blood. You are not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. Perfect. The Lamb of God. The perfect lamb. Without spot. Without blemish. That's where my bloodline comes from. And because of Jesus, I have victory. Because of Jesus, I'm a benefactor of the blessings of God. I thank the Lord. But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. Let's all stand in this place today. I've taken more than enough time to.